House Tax Conference Committee back to order.
Look at the time.
I apologize for the delay here. We'll get going. We need to get this wrapped up here. As you know, throughout the conference committee, we have had testimony throughout the previous meetings on most all subject areas. So we'll be going with motions and concrete discussion and a department weighing in. If there's some unforeseen circumstance where we do need public testimony for the good of the order, we would take it, but it'll be very, very limited as we have a lot of work to do here yet today. So we'll be going through some motions here. We do have the Marshall corrected language before us, so Senator Ortman would be willing to move the Marshall amendment.
Mr. Chair, for purposes of discussion, I will move the Marshall amendment. I'm hoping council can explain what we're trying to accomplish here.
Okay, if council could describe the Marshall amendment, Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what the Marshall Amendment does is it goes back into the hospitality tax that was passed last year and extends how long they have to hold that election so they can hold the election for the hospitality tax at the same time that they're holding the election for the general sales tax for the same purpose.
Discussion? Okay. Senator Ortman renews her motion. The Marshall Amendment, it's House Article 4, Section 14. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Now if we could go to the Disabled Veterans section, which is, I believe we have new language on that as the stage passed it on. Members, that's on the property tax area, Article 5.
Yeah.
Page is that?
Mr. Hines, could you please explain the changes?
Mr. Chairman, the language you're going to be looking 27? At, which is SH015 in the upper right corner, is substantively the same as in the House file. But there's just been some cleanup language, a couple of technical changes recommended by the department, and some clarifications of some timing issues with regard to how these people would apply for benefits and get the benefits, and a clarification about what happens to people who might not have gotten the benefit in 2011 but will need to get it or would have under this bill, that they'll get it for 1 year out into the future. So just a couple of technical cleanup matters.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman.
If council would advise, does the language still accomplish the three major provisions that are listed on page 20 in the side-by-side?
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, yes, it does.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you. Ms.
Von Mosch.
Mr. Chair and members, I wanted to just highlight that we have received a revised revenue estimate on this bill. Originally, the House fiscal costs for this bill were much lower than the Senate, and with the revised language, the new costs for this bill will be $110,000 in FY13, $185,000 in FY14. $270,000 in fiscal year 15. So those are slightly higher than what either spreadsheet was carrying before.
Thank you, Ms. Von Mosch.
Chair.
Discussion? Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Von Mosch, do we have the revised revenue estimate that we could pass out?
Mr. Chair, I have to make a correction. Those are savings. Mr. Willett just informed me. So those are actually savings. All we... Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, all we have is an email from the department, and I can have that copied if you would like. But it isn't an official estimate, given the timing of everything. We don't have an official estimate on that yet, just a preliminary one.
Thank you. And Mr.
Senator
Chair,
Ortman.
Thank you. Ms. Von Mosch, then the savings is due to the property tax refund interaction?
Madam Chair, it's Mr. Hines might be able to respond to this better than I, but my understanding is that there was a clarification of the effective date and how the House language would have been implemented.
Mr. Hines?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, generally speaking with the disabled vet extensions, because it's a shift of some homeowners' taxes onto all other taxpayers, that ends up being a savings in the property tax refund program because presumably some of those people would have qualified for the PTR. So in general, that's why you get a savings. And the reason ours was rescored was on the original scoring, there was a group of participants that wasn't being picked up, that had been picked up in the Senate bill, and this language, our language got revised to pick up those people.
Senator Ortman.
And Mr. Hines, then there would also be a local impact, clearly, to this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, that's correct. The shift would be a local shift, yes.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman.
Do you know how many taxpayers would be affected by this, Mr. Hines?
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, I don't know. I don't know if Mr. Ouellette looks like he's combing his computer to see if he can find a number for us, perhaps. Ms. Schill, do you?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think we're having that email copied for everyone so you can see what we...
This is number of affected taxpayers.
Oh, affected taxpayers. I'm sorry. I don't have that one with me.
Trying to figure out if he's getting the information,
sure.
Or
this looks like the same one as before.
Mr. Hines?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ouellette is going to have to go back and look for numbers. Doesn't have them with him at this time. But
Mr. Chair, I would withdraw the amendment at this time. Mr. Chair?
Senator Ortman?
If I could move to Article 5, Section 7 in the property taxes, page 20 of the summary. We had Section 7 was a seasonal residential recreational tax capacity. That's quite a mouthful. Making a technical change to that provision, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? The motion?
We need to do it.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Hines?
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we do need to do this. It goes with the Sections 1 and 4 that we approved earlier.
We've done that?
You've already approved those two. This was another technical piece that went with those two.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, this was that cleanup language of the Class 4C in Section 4, and so they all were intended to be moved together.
Yes.
And so I would hope the members would accommodate me by adding and approving Section 7, which was intended to go along with that previous motion on this issue.
So moved. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, could Senator Ortman just repeat maybe the page and the reference?
Sure can. Mr. Chair and Senator Sengen, okay. We're on page 20 of the side-by-side, and it relates to Article 5, Section 1 and 4 on the previous page. Mm-hmm. So all three were passed together.
Right. Thank you.
Further discussion? The motion is to move to Section 7 on page 21 of the House provision. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Okay, yeah, good. Mr. Chair, I would offer the A15 again so that we could maybe take a little testimony from Mr. Ouellette regarding the application of these disabled veterans provisions for property taxes.
Senator Ortman moves the SH-015 amendment. If Mr. Ouellette could join us.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Eric Ouellette from the Department of Revenue.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Ouellette, are these the numbers of folks that would be impacted by this property tax provision?
Mr. Ouellette.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, no, these are the thousands of dollars of PTR savings from the provision that's in the amendment.
So, Mr. Ouellette, do you know how many Minnesotans approximately would be impacted by these provisions?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I was trying to find that number, but I haven't been able to find that number on my computer yet, so I'm still trying to do that.
I thought we were ready with that number.
Okay.
So,
sorry.
Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw the A-15.
The SH-015 amendment is temporarily withdrawn.
Madam Chair?
Representative Runbeck?
Had we previously adopted the Marshall Amendment, I mean the Marshall section, and we just adopted the language, but did we previously adopt the section?
No. For Marshall?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to actually move the Article 4.
I would think so. Yeah.
She's right.
Mm-hmm.
They moved the section.
Local sales tax provisions to Marshall. We moved the language. Now we need to actually move the Article 4, Section 14, adopting the House position. Senator Ortman moves Marshall, House, Article 4, Section 14. Any questions? Ms. Manzi?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. We have different recollections of what you said before, so perhaps if you were to move Article 4, Section 14 with the amendment and state the number of the amendment, and then we would be certain that both pieces had been adopted.
Okay. Senator Ortman moves the Article 4, Section 15, and would move to amend the APD-Marshall amendment.
Section 14.
14.
I'm sorry. Senator Ortman moves Marshall Article 4, Section 14. Now, we have the amendment to the amendment. Senator Ortman moves APD-Marshall. All in favor of the amendment to the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Now we have House Article 4, Section 14 as amended. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Now, staff, did we do Marshall right?
Yes.
Marshall.
Did it all.
Mater. Okay, very good. We don't need it. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move to House Article 9 and Senate Article 7 on page 32.
Okay. Members, Senator Ortman moves House Article 9, Senate Article 7, page 32. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I would move to accept the budget reserve reduction in the Senate language, Senate Article 7, Section 6.
Senator Ortman moves Senate Article 7, Section 6, the Senate language. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I'd also like to make a motion relating to the cash flow on House Article 10, Senate Article 7, page 32. And the Senate previously adopted a provision to cancel $216 million in the balance in the cash flow account, and I would like to amend that provision.
State your amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to adopt that language, but I'll just let folks know I will be moving to amend it. So I think it's easier to.
We okay. Have the motion to move Article 10, Senate Article 7, and then Senator Ortman would like to make an oral amendment to the amendment.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just to let folks know, my intention is to cancel $166 million in the balance in the cash flow account, and so whether we take up the provision first and amend it, I think what I'd like to do is move to adopt the Senate language, Article 7, Section 5, with an oral amendment, change the number from $216 million to $166 million.
Do Confreys understand the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Orkin. With the oral amendment. She moved that.
Oh, she's good at it.
So now I need to renew my motion. I didn't move the whole thing. We moved it. That's what I thought.
With the oral amendment.
Right.
Are you ready to do this?
Just a second. Senator Ortman moves Article 7, Section 5, so now we have that before us. So let's, do we need to rescind the previous one?
No, we did it.
Don't we make a motion at the end that staff will clean up? Okay.
They're all taking notes, Mr. Chair.
We now have that before us. Now, Senator Ortman makes an oral amendment that it would be $166 million instead of $216 million.
Correct.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. Motion prevails. Now we have the motion as amended, Article 10, Section 7. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Record should be very clear on that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Ortman. Okay, Senator Ortman has a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move regarding House Article 6, Senate Article 3. Page 22 of the side-by-side members.
Okay, motion.
Yeah, just bear with me here. No, not yet.
Page 22.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move regarding the PILT payments that we make. The Senate had a provision reducing those PILT payments to the 12% per acre in the program. And so, Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate position on sections 1, 2, and sections 26 through 29 in Senate Article 3.
Okay, members, we have the motion on Article 6, Senate Article, House Article 6, Senate Article 3. The Senator is moving section 1, the Senate position. Section 2, the Senate position, and Senate section 26 through 29, the Senate position. Any discussion? Ms. Manzi?
Mr. Chair, I think perhaps Mr. Hines or someone else who works with this, I think there are maybe a couple of sections in the repealer that you want to have go along with this. Yeah, go ahead and say.
Mr. Hines, or Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you also want to adopt Paragraph C of Senate Section 34.
And Section 32.
34.
Section 34.
Okay. Okay, we were going to do the
no,
PILT
yeah, in section
separate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see. You don't want to do 30. Okay.
It's unrelated okay,
yeah,
to
yeah,
the actual
yeah, okay.
Right.
Senate here. Okay. Yeah. Paragraph C.
Section
okay.
Section 34, Paragraph C.
Yeah.
Yep.
Section 32 is this PILT study.
Right. Mr. Chair, that is correct. You
we'll
can
come back to that.
Okay.
However, Mr. Chair, the Section 34 is the repealer.
C.
Right. Right. So,
can
I,
yeah. Can I add that? Can I just add it to what we just did?
Mr. Chair, I would move to orally amend to add or in, to include in the motion Section 34. So then it would include Senate Section 1, 2, 26 through 29, and 34. C. 34C.
34C.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to mention that. any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Got it.
Opposed. And prevails, I think.
That's right here.
I
should have.
And again, for people in the audience here, since we've taken testimony on all these areas previously, we have a full plate tonight, so unless there's some extenuating circumstance, since we've already heard full public testimony on these sections and articles, we will continue to move forward. Okay, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to refer to Senate Article 3. Sections 3, 4, 16, and 17 relate to the political contribution refund, and the Senate's position was to eliminate that program. And so I would move adoption of the Senate position on Senate Article 3, Sections 3, 4.
Chair, what page?
I'm sorry.
Article 3. Page about 9.
I think we're on, Mr. Chair, we are on.
If you go to Article
22.
6.
22.
Okay, Article 6. 22. Section 3. That's the PCR. So you please restate your motion, Senator Ortman.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The political contribution refund Senate language is at Senate Article 3, beginning on page 22, at sections 3, 4, 16, and 17.
I know, but 3 is.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I
yes,
believe
sir.
Section 4 is on a different topic.
Right. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, it looks like that was added in error here, so I will amend my motion to adopt Section 3, 16, and 17, which all relate to the political contribution refund.
Discussion. Mr. Michael.
There's also a repealer for that.
Paragraphs A and B.
Repealer.
Mr. Chair, I would add then paragraph 34.
Section 34, paragraph A and B. Discussion? Hearing none, all fair say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ortman. Senator Limmer, you have a motion?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. I'd like to bring our attention to Article 3, Sections 3 and 4. Of the House bill, page 14 on the sidebar or the comparison. This is in regard to the extended tax for the Twin Stadium.
Okay, so Senator Limmer moves to adopt Article 4, Section 3, and Section 4.
And under Section 4, this would be of the House position, but change a $20 million limit to $5 million limit in the House position.
Okay, so let us first move Article 4, Sections 3 and 4. Senator Limmer, the House language on page 14, Senator Limmer then moves to amend by going from 20 million to what million?
Five.
5 million. Discussion from conferees. To the amendment, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. We now have the motion as amended to adopt Article 4, Sections 3 and 4, as amended the House position. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I didn't hear Senator Limmer make that motion. I don't think he's made it yet. Did you make the motion?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Which one?
I move that Article 4 of the House position, Sections 3 and 4 as amended, be recommended to pass.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, we did not hear this in the Senate. And so I think these are the types of extraordinary circumstances where Senate members would benefit from hearing from folks either for or against this proposal.
Now, we did take extensive testimony in conference committee on this today.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would hope that we would allow members to test or folks to testify.
Is there anyone that would like to briefly testify? Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mary Beth Davidson, Hennepin County Director of Intergovernmental Relations.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I would implore you to please not pass this as it's been amended in particular. The county board has certain obligations around the ballpark, including $1.1 million per year for capital improvement fund, and also $1 million a year per year for the ballpark authority operation.
Mr. Chair, can we pull the microphone up just a little bit, please?
Speak to the microphone,
please. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. The county board has obligations around this $1.1 million a year is for a capital improvement fund, and another $1 million per year is for the ballpark authority operation. So we have obligations to the ballpark. It's only been in operation for 1 year. We don't exactly know how much it's going to cost in total, and we would ask for you to give us a little bit of time, maybe come back in 5 years. We can tell you what this is going to cost. We and the board, to get the four votes, agreed and worked together to put a little incentive into this package, including additional library hours and youth sports. We've done some really wonderful things with the additional money, and to take away the inflationary factor would cut that fund. We have also, in the last 3 years, paid an additional $13.7 million on the debt. That's an additional pay down of the debt on the loans that we've taken. So I think we're good stewards of the money. We've done what the legislature has given us the authority to do, and we have added some real perks for our constituents, for our residents, including extended library hours and a lot of capital improvements on youth sports. And our budget director is on his way, and he can answer any technical questions you have. He's at Snelling right now.
Ms. Davison? Any questions for Ms. Davison?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer and then Rosen. Senator Limmer?
Yes, I'd like to ask Ms. Davidson a question regarding when does the tax for the ballpark expire?
Ms. Davison?
I'd like to ask Alexander Iverson to join me at the table.
Please state your name and who you represent.
Alexander Iverson, work in Hennepin County Office of Budget and Finance.
Welcome to the committees.
Thank you. I believe there's no expiration date in law right now for the sales tax. Our assumption is that it expires when the bonds are paid off. And that looks like right now it's in 2037. But we are paying them early, as Ms. Davidson said.
Senator Limmer?
Well, Mr. Chair, I believe the answer was half right. I don't think it expires at all. Even if bonds are paid off, there's no end date. The taxpayers in Hennepin County will pay into perpetuity for a ballpark that they might pay over and over and over again.
Mr. Chair.
And all we're asking for is, just like any other local option sales tax, there has to be an end date. Especially when the public wasn't involved to cast a vote, a referendum vote, on a local option sales tax like this. Now, we ask that of every other local option sales tax in the state. Now, maybe I can see where Hennepin County or Minneapolis loves to have a tax go into perpetuity, and it's been voted on by someone outside of Hennepin County to impose this tax. But there should be an end to it. Now, Minnesota has a long history of starting up temporary taxes that are never temporary. And I think this one we have to make sure that it sometimes ends when the purpose of the taxation comes to an end. And that's all I'm asking.
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, we assume that when the debt is paid off, the loan or the tax ends. I mean, the legislative intent is that once the loans are paid off, the tax ends.
Senator Limmer?
I think I've made my point adequately, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Davison, I thought I heard you say that you would like to just have... Actually, let me back up. How fast is this this debt being served? How quickly? How much more than what you projected?
Ms. Davison?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, could you repeat the question, please?
When do you project these bonds to be paid off, the debt to be paid off? Do you have I assume that there's been comments that this is being paid off much more quickly than, and this is something we need to wait for from the CFO?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, our projected date is 2037, but we are paying them off earlier. We paid an additional $13.7 million in the last 3 years.
And, Ms. Davis, I thought I heard you say that it would be nice to have a couple of years just to see how everything is being collected, how it's going before we automatically cut it off. I think that's reasonable, Mr. Chair and members. I think that is something we should entertain. I do still believe in local control. I do have a question about the language in the Section 4. When the cap on the amount of the reserve fund is reached, this will compel additional revenues from the sales tax to be used to redeem or defease bonds. The only other permitted purposes for this sales tax revenue. Does that mean then there is no other money that will be to maintain the libraries and to maintain the commitment that we made when this bill was passed? Do you understand my question?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, I would assume that's correct.
Okay.
Senator Rosen?
Well, Mr. Chair, I've said it before, I think we made a commitment when we passed this bill, whether we like the passage of this bill or not. It was a bipartisan bill with many metro legislators that did vote for this, that were on the conference committee. I think we, to just go ahead and allow these libraries and youth sports groups to just be maintained by the city after this is all eliminated is irresponsible. So I would like to see this perhaps laid over, and then we address it in 2-3 years down the road.
Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Chair, if I may, maybe Senator Rosen or any other legislator in the room can answer this question. When do people think the tax should stop for a library or youth sports? We have no local option sales taxes that are for libraries and youth sports for anyone else. Every other city pays for them themselves, and including mine and yours and everyone else, and we don't have local option sales taxes for soccer fields. But if we were going to have given, say, Marshall a local option sales tax for a soccer field or Rochester one for a library or, you know, whatever, we would make that end. So does anybody think that tax shouldn't come to an end? Just set aside the ballpark. I mean, is there anyone who ever thought that tax was supposed to be permanent?
Mr. Chair and Representative Lincheski, we have no legal obligation to continue the ballpark, or I mean the youth sports and the library hour commitment. But we do have a 30-year commitment that we've signed that requires us to pay for, as I said in the beginning, the capital improvement fund, $1.1 million per year, and $1 million for the ballpark authority operation. And that's a 30-year commitment that we signed.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was actually hoping Senator Rosen or another legislator could answer. Is anyone aware of
a local option sales tax in perpetuity for soccer fields or, you know, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is the fact that there is a small part of this amount of money originally contemplated as part of the Twin Stadium that somehow will have to find a different way to fund itself. You know, I guess my rhetorical comment is on, you know, on this whole question is sort of, so what? I mean, before this tax, the libraries and the soccer and youth sports weren't being funded through a county local option sales tax, and they are still being funded in all those other taxes, too. This is just on top of that. So if a county, maybe your county, Senator Rosen, or any other legislator wants their county to come forward and say, I'd like to have a county tax for libraries or sports or whatever, you know, they can do that. Hennepin County could do it next year. They can say, I want one for just for that forever, and they can see if the legislature wants to pass that for them. But it was never contemplated ever that this tax would be forever for anything. I personally was always disappointed that my Hennepin County commissioners didn't come here and fight for a local option sales tax for the things that they always say they need help with, like Hennepin County Medical Center, like their courts, like the jails, like all the other core governmental services. But they didn't do that. They came here and said, can we have it for the Twin Stadium? And you know what? They got it. It passed. And, oh, there was some libraries and youth sports, but that was never supposed to be permanent. And, in fact, this legislation, the reason it isn't permanent is because there is a blank in the law, a blank in the legislation that says you can use this tax to do all these things. And the catch is why it doesn't end is it says you can have an operating fund, a reserve, but it's not capped. So you could take the total tax, the $29 million it raises every year, and you could put it in a reserve year after year after year after year to the point that you have, hey, $700 million and you need to build a new stadium. Now, I'm not saying any county commissioner would ever do that, but you could do it. And this puts a cap on of $5 million in the reserve to do, you know, change the light bulbs and maintain the field. And we just heard testimony that the county feels they need two pots of money, about a little over $1 million a year. And then Senator Limmer's amendment just gives them five. You know, they asked for two. He's given them five. So much more than they even testified than they needed. So they certainly have the adequacy to maintain the stadium, as was agreed to in the beginning, and to do the commitment of the libraries and the youth sports. And then when that's done, it's supposed to turn off this tax. We don't need 2 or 3 years, members. You know, it's been running for 5 years. We've got all the data. It's been going for 5 years, and we just heard it's not projected to end to at least 2037. So, you know, we're talking about a long, long time, and all this does is say there's a cap. What the cap does is it forces when you fill up the reserve, you can empty the reserve every year for 30 years. You can fill it to five and empty it out, fill it to five and empty it out. So you keep doing all you want for all those 30 years, but then eventually you got to, when you cap five, you have to defease the bonds. You're forced to pay back your debt. And I think bipartisanly, people are concerned about debt and government carrying debt, whether it's the national government or anyone else. This is forcing the Hennepin County to reduce their debt in a timely way and turn the tax off. I think it's a very simple taxpayer protection, ending a tax that's supposed to turn off, and I honestly can't see why Hennepin County isn't endorsing the bill, but they're not. And I hope members will support Senator Limmer's amendment.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I thought that there was language in the law that ties the taxes raised and the revenue to the bonds. And I'm hoping that Ms. Zoff can you advise about that, Ms. Zoff?
Ms. Zoff?
Madam Chair, members, there is language in the current law that actually shows up, it's in the current law in one of the sections that's amended in the House bill that provides that upon the redemption or defeasance of the bonds and the establishment of reserves adequate to meet such future obligations, the taxes shall terminate and shall not be reimposed.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
To Ms. Zoff, does that mean that if the bonds are paid off in 20 years instead of 30, then the tax can no longer be collected for that purpose?
Ms. Zoff?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, Representative Lencheski is saying that theoretically the county could, you know, fund reserves in an unlimited amount. But if the language that allows the counties to establish reserves, it's to maintain reserves for the foregoing purposes deemed reasonable and appropriate by the county. So once the reserves have been established that are deemed reasonable by the county, and I guess that would be the question, the law would say that once the bonds have been paid and the reserves adequate to meet the future obligations, the taxes will terminate.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, so if I'm hearing you right, Ms. Off, then if, say, the bonds are paid off in 20 years, and the county board believes they have adequate reserves to fund ongoing expenses related to the bonds or other purposes, then the tax expires.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, I believe that's the effect of that language.
Thank you, Ms. Off.
Senator Ortman.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I can, to make clear, so to Ms. Off, that, and I, Senator Ortman, that's right. If the bonds are defeased, the county must pay, turn the tax off. But the catch is, the language that Ms. Off just read, it says that the county board gets to decide what's an adequate reserve. Could the reserve be $500 million, Ms. Off, in that language?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lencheski, the language that deals with the reserves authorizes the use of the tax revenues, and this is the language in the current law, to maintain reserves for the foregoing purposes deemed reasonable and appropriate by the county.
Mr. Chair, deemed reasonable and appropriate by the county. That's any number you want. Senator Limmer is putting a number to it. So that when there is a reserve of $5 million, which the testimony has said that's enough, and the bonds are defeased, the tax will turn off. Exactly. That's the reason it never can end. As long as a future county board, not this county board, we're talking in the future, different set of elected officials deem, you know what's reasonable now? $50 million, $100 million, $150 million, $200 million, $250 million. I mean, it'll never stop. Senator Limmer puts a $5 million reserve, allows everything that was contemplated by the legislature who passed this legislation, those obligations to be met, and the tax ends. Support it.
Senator
Mr. Roman. Chair. Ms. Zoff, would the amended language in the Senate provision limit the reserve to a $5 million balance at any time, or would it be $5 million at the end, or would it be $5 million spent over the course? I'm trying to understand what that would, how that would impact the reserve.
I believe it's
no one asked you that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
In the House provision, yes. We don't have a Senate provision.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, the language as amended by Senator Limmer's motion would say no additional tax revenues may be deposited in the fund when its balance exceeds $5 million.
Ms. Off, so then at any time, at the point of expiration or even any time prior to that?
Ms. Off.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, yes, this would say, this would put a limit on the amount that could be placed in the reserve.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you. Mr. Lawless, welcome to the Tax Conference Committee.
Spell your last name for the record.
My name is Dave Lawless, L-A-W-L-E-S-S. I'm the county's director of budget and finance.
Please, sir. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Lawless, I would welcome your testimony about this, but in particular, I'm hoping that you would address whether or not the $5 million is an adequate reserve given the scope of what's happening at the Twins Stadium.
Mr. Lawless.
Chairman, Commissioner Ortman, Senator Ortman.
Former commissioner.
The $5 million cap would be very limiting in that if the bonds were ready to be paid off in 20 years, you know, we have obligations, I believe you had testimony before, that in excess of $2 million a year, and so therefore there'd be an incentive for us not to pay off the bonds the way this is drafted. A more reasonable balance would be probably in the $30 million range, so that we would have adequate money. Additionally, I think the commitment made by the county board was to provide library hours and youth sports activities for 30 years. And to the extent the bonds were paid off after 20 or 22 years, there clearly would not be enough money to pay for that for the last 8 to 10 years with a limit of $5 million.
Senator Ortman. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Lemmer renews his motion to adopt Article 4, Section 3, and Section 4. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would ask for a roll call vote.
There will be a roll call vote. Senator Lemmer renews his motion to adopt Article 4, Section 3 and 4, adopting House language, page 14, with the exception of the $20 million being $5 million. Is that correct, Senator Lemmer?
That's correct.
Be the committee legislative assistant role. That's what you are now. Or maybe I should get Jen up here.
No, I got it.
We'll take the roll call.
Chair Davids.
Yes.
Representative Loon?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Lincheski?
Yes.
Representative Runbeck?
Yes.
Chair Ortman?
No.
Senator Lemmer?
Yes.
Senator Senjum?
No.
Senator Rosen?
No.
Senator Chamberlain?
Yes.
There being five ayes from the House and two ayes and three noes from the Senate, the motion does not prevail.
Mr. Chair?
Okay. Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Chair, my intention, I hope, I guess you had to get somebody here. I hope you'll stay because my intention will be to bring that motion back before midnight, see if I can't work with the county and Senator Lemmer and others. I think this is not yet ended here tonight, and so I hope folks can stick around, and I hope to see if I can convince a few people. So thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Lemmer.
Okay, we are going to recess to the call of the chair. President Chesky.